Well, the Bible said it was the mountains of Ararat, and so there are two peaks. Big peaks, little peaks. How do we deal with them? This is Father Voskin, and I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, recording in Yerevan, Armenia, and connecting the dots between here and there and just about everywhere. This is episode number 489 of The Next Step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. You don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
So when Albert Einstein came out with his formula of E equals MC squared, we talked about relativity and that time is relative, right? According to the circumstances that you find yourself, depending on what speed you're going at. Well, answer me this. What about the very simple relativity of time in our lives? Why is it that when you're having a great time, it seems that time is just flying by? Why is it that when you're having a horrible time, when you're just totally down, time just seems to be standing still? So where's the relativity in all of this? Does it have to do anything with the traveling at the speed of light, traveling at any speed, or about just about your feelings and the emotions and those neurons inside of you that are maybe traveling at different speeds? I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you something. This past 10 days have gone by way too fast. Way too fast. I mean, I felt that when, you know, you watch your kids grow up and you say, wow, where did time go? And when you're having a good time, time is just flying by. But, you know, when the time is, when you're sick, you're not feeling well, you're down, you know, just time just seems to be standing still. We are in Armenia. My wife and I, Susan, we're here in Armenia meeting with some great friends. Adam, who I told you last week, you happen to know, because he's a long time, not only Next Stepper, but In His Shoes. We did a project together back in 2002 where we did Focused Vision, our first album of the Holy Badarak, of the Holy Divine Liturgy. And I was thinking about that just this week when we selected that name, Focused Vision, for that album, how appropriate it was. I mean, that whole Badarak, the divine liturgy of the Armenian Church, is about having a focused vision. And once you have that focused vision, you are in gear. You are flowing. And so with Adam here, my deacon Harayat is here. Our dear friends, Emik just took off, but Christina, our daughter, and we are just I don't know. I can't, the word enjoy is not right. Enjoy implies that, you know, that you're doing something, people aren't doing something, and you're getting the benefit of it. But you know what? All around you, there's a life here in Armenia that needs to be celebrated, and we're in the midst of it, and we're celebrating that life. Time has gone by way too fast. We are at the end of our trip. Tomorrow morning, we'll be getting on a plane and heading back to America, and it's an odd feeling. Because there's a reality here, a true reality, that you know is going to continue even though you're leaving it. I think that's the case in any time you take a break from life, right? You adapt to the reality where you're at, and then that reality, you're part of it. Now, when you have to go back to your other reality, a separate reality, all of a sudden, it just hits you. That the reality you're leaving is continuing. It's continuing. You don't go back to the point you left at. from reality, let's say number one, okay? Reality number two, let's say, is the place that you're visiting. When you get back, you don't go back to the same point. You actually have arrived at a new point in that first reality, and you see that life has gone on. We're getting ready for that, okay? Going back to reality one. But there certainly is a big reality over here. We are broadcasting from Armenia, from Yerevan, Armenia. And as I shared with you last week on the first part of this broadcast, we are recording from a remote location. So you do hear the background noise. You hear cars going by. You may hear an occasional honk. Although if you are in the midst of all that traffic, you hear honks more often than not. Right now we're recording from a remote area, and we've got a remote system, and Susie and Ken are back at the studio back in Los Angeles, and they're going to be taking these sound files, coordinating it, and by the time you get it as next step number 489, you'll be hearing the complete thing along with all of the local noise. We are in Armenia with a project with the In His Shoes mission. We are in Armenia with a project called That Armenia May Hear. This is the Starkey Hearing Foundation, a wonderful foundation whose goal is that the world may hear, for people to have an opportunity. They say the World Health Organization estimates 360 million people are affected by hearing loss. And so the Starkey Foundation has a very simple system of giving hearing back one at a time. And here in Armenia, we were able to provide for 1,800 people. And I got to tell you, there have been ups and downs. Our dear friend Adam has been with us through all of it. He actually did some translations. He facilitated so many people. But it is just such an emotional roller coaster of feelings that we go through as we're fitting these hearing aids on people, as we're talking with them, learning about their stories. They came in from the villages, they came in from the cities, Yerevan, of course, from Gyumri, and Vanatsor, the main cities. These three cities had the bulk of the people that received these hearing aids. So the whole Starkey program, and there'll be a link on today's show notes so you could check out Starkey. What they do is they go into different countries and they provide hearing aids. Armenia happens to be the 107th country that they are providing these hearing aids for, and we are very honored and fortunate to be able to be a part of this. It's walking in the shoes of others, walking with them, and this was under the auspices of the Western Diocese of the Armenian Church. So actually, I'm looking right now at this beautiful award. And by the way, if you get on Facebook, and I think we'll have a link on today's show notes, you could see some of our pictures, and do check out this beautiful award that they gave us. I'm not the one who likes awards, but this one is really beautiful because it was in an Armenian rug factory, the Magurian Carpet Company. And we had a chance to witness so much of history, too. By the way, today in today's show, in the second portion, I'm going to be talking about the upcoming feast next Sunday. We'll be talking about the scriptural passage that we read in church. But for right now, for this beginning part, let me share with you some of the different emotions, the different roller coaster feelings that we went through. And the place where I want to start off is at Mount Ararat. Now, Mount Ararat is a very unique symbol in that it belongs to the Armenians. And it happens to be today in Turkey. And it's very interesting because no matter where you go in Armenia, wherever you go, in people's houses, homes, in halls, in restaurants, in hotel rooms, there are pictures of Mount Ararat. And of course, as you're walking the streets of Yerevan, all of a sudden, whoa, there it is. This beautiful, gorgeous, giant mountain. I get goosebumps every time I think about Yerije Charens's words. Ashkaransir Araradi Naman Jermak Kakachika. Go around the world and there is not another peak, a white-capped peak like Ararat. And that's really the case. When you see it, you are in awe. Of course, biblically, this is the resting place of Noah's Ark, the mountains of Ararat. And you go to Ararat and you see that there's a couple mountains there. One is the big one, one is the small one. So the Bible refers to it as the mountains of Ararat, and they call it Masisir, the Masisar. And there is the big Masis, the smaller Masis. And just the other day, Aram shared with us about Sis. There is Sis and Masis. So anyway, there's a different ways of approaching it. And I remember a few years ago when we went over to the historic lands of Armenia on the other side, the Turks had named it some other obscure thing, which I'm glad it hasn't caught on, okay? Anyway, this is our mountain. And so the other day, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it because you're in awe. Every time you look at it, you're just in awe sitting there. And I'm sitting there and I notice that the main peak, the large peak of Ararat, the main mountain, the giant one, that one was covered under clouds. So you could see the snow caps. And I believe most of the year it is snow capped. I think it's rare that it is, that if under maybe some incredible heat, it might melt. But even if it's just the top portion, it is snow capped. But this is the mid October. There was a relatively good amount of snow on the peaks. But you could not see large Ararat because of the clouds. But the small one, the small Masis on the side, is just standing there, erect, and very defined. It was very, very defined. And there'll be a link on today's show notes about this particular day that I looked at it. There's a picture. I want you to take a look at that, okay? Now, I'd like you to imagine being me, okay? You've come on the other side of the world, and you're sitting there. I mean, there is just like no one around you. And you're sitting one-on-one with this mountain. Like I said, it's not in your land, but it is. I mean, anybody who says, where is Armenia, what do you say? It's the land that's around Mount Ararat, right? I mean, it's always been defined as the land of Armenians. And, you know, everybody knows it belongs to the Armenians. So there it is. I'm sitting there, no one around me at this particular spot, in my mountain, and I'm seeing one peak completely, completely straight up, and it's the smaller peak, okay? Completely defined. So defined that you could actually see lines, and you could see, I want to say you could see people, but that's how clear it was. You couldn't see people up there, but you could just feel it. The other one is the larger peak. Is under clouds. And a metaphor hit me. And this is what I want to share with you, because I think this metaphor was really important that it came up in the midst of all this. Here we were, 1,800 people. We fitted with hearing aids over 3 days and big, big activities. You've got the Starkey going around all over the world and fitting people with these hearing aids and big, big jobs. But what about the smaller jobs that you're doing, or us, even in his shoes, the small little things that we're doing, whether it's feeding the homeless at one of our Essentia feeds, or going out there and marching for Darfur and talking with people about it and effectuating changes, small steps, right? And this metaphor hit me. I was sitting across, opposite my mountain, and the peak of large Ararat was hid behind the clouds, while small Masis just stood there. It was fine. It was well-defined. And the metaphor is this, and I want to share it with you, and I want you to meditate about it. Big challenges, big problems in our lives, like the big giant peak, are often clouded by too many uncontrollable factors. Those uncontrollable factors are people from outside, are influences from the outside, preventing us from doing the big jobs, the big peaks that we want to climb. And what happens is that we are frustrated. We are oftentimes frustrated, and to the point that we lose hope. There's a sense of hopelessness that comes along with it. Now, we can't control those clouds, right? Those clouds are coming and they're hiding the peak. They're hiding the jobs that we want to do. And this is just a beautiful metaphor that just hit me like that. But it's the small peaks, the small steps that we take, the seemingly smaller work that we do, the ones that we say, well, does anybody notice? Does anybody really care? These are the ones that are better noted, those small ones, because we note them. And you've affected lives of other people, perhaps single people, one-on-one. And because they are noted, they're articulated and they are defined, much like that small mountain, that small peak that I saw. And here's an opportunity for all of us. When we look at our lives, when we look at the challenges that are in front of us, to not get discouraged because of uncontrollable circumstances, namely the clouds that seem to hide what we're doing. Go ahead and do the small work. Do what you know is right, and you'll see that those peaks, those small little achievements that you do, become defined. They're so defined that they help you lose that feeling of hopelessness, and you realize that there is a sense of purpose. And so I start today talking about what this roller coaster of emotions with this little metaphor. And think about that as we talk about some of these experiences that we were having. So here we are at the Starkey event, and we're up at the main complex, the sports complex, up at the top near Dzidzinagapert. If you know Yerevan, you'll know where it's at. It's kind of like way up on the hill in Yerevan. And there we are. And we're seeing people come in at all different levels. And it was a beautiful organization to this event, because when you're going through masses of people like that, you have to be organized. And the number of volunteers, the number of people that did the pre-arranged, pre-event operations, and then the physicians come in and the technicians come in. They came in from all over the world. To do this, about 30, 40 of them, and putting in the hearing aids. And then you're doing your bit. And each person who is doing something is part of the bigger solution. So there really isn't anybody who you could say is discounted. I mean, there were so many opportunities to translate, for instance. Okay, what's the language that you're going to be speaking? And these were opportunities for us to see the small steps that we are taking. Those small steps are the important ones. And everyone's step is part of the bigger picture. The bigger picture, so to speak, of when you look at the mountains of Ararat. You could see some clouds, things that are beyond you. Go ahead and do the things that you can do. In this roller coaster, we also had a few personal events too. One of which was last Friday night. Susan and I had a chance to visit with His Holiness, the Catholicos of all Armenians, being one-on-one with him, and sharing with him some of our thoughts, and hearing, mostly hearing, his thoughts on where we are as a church. We no sooner had finished our meeting with him that he said, I have to be in Yerevan in a few minutes. He says, would you walk to the car with me? And we said, well, you don't say no to His Holiness, okay? So his chauffeur had drawn up his car, and I was so excited because, you know me in numbers, right? Okay? I looked over at his license plate, 001. Oh, was that exciting or what? He's got the number one license plate, okay? So anyway, the chauffeur parked the car a little bit up before us. And so we were walking towards the car, and His Holiness was so gracious in sharing different stories with us, different things that we were looking at around Etchmiadzin, the newness. And I'm going to get back to this in just a minute when I talk about Armenia 40. I went to Armenia. I was here in Armenia exactly to the day 40 years ago when I came as a seminarian. So the changes are drastic. And even though since then I've come a few times, still the changes are just hit you. And you realize that, when you talk about the church being guided by the Holy Spirit, you understand that everybody has his or her function within the church. We are always too consumed with those large peaks that we forget those small peaks along the way construct the entire mountainscape. They construct the entire mountains of Ararat, right? You can't say mountains of Ararat unless you have that smaller peak, unless you do that small stuff. And so there we were with Susan and I. We were just walking with him, and along came these four guys, I'd say between 8 and 10 years old. They were kicking a little soccer ball, and they saw His Holiness, and they went up to him. The Armenian greeting, Astvats Oknagan, is something that is accepted within the monks of the church. It means, may God be your helper. And His Holiness, or the clergy, responds, Astvats Bahaban, may God be your protector. So these little kids, these four kids, 8 years old, I'd say at the most 10 years old, okay? They come up and they go, Astvats Oknagan. And they all take his hand and showing respect and honor. His Holiness began talking with them about what they're doing, about the soccer ball, about the fun that they're having. And what a moment it was. It was a priceless moment. And Susan took out her phone and started recording this. We had this incredible video of this very, very special. It was truly a holy moment. So we had a chance to meet with him on Friday night, talk with him, share in these memories. Then we came down into Yerevan that night. We've been sharing times with friends and being with friends. Now, the next day happened to be the 2799th anniversary of Yerevan. Now, pretty cool, right? And I remember 40 years ago, I was here for the whatever that is, 2759, okay? Sorry. These numbers I don't like to do. These are just basic math questions. So next year, Yerevan Erepuni becomes 2,800 years old. Of course, a nice round number. We'll want to be here, right, for that one. But we were here for this particular birthday celebration. And throughout the entire city, there are all kinds and manner of celebration, concerts, people getting together. We actually sat across from the main square drinking tea that night. It was so cold, but beautiful, crisp, cold weather. And all of a sudden, unbelievable, right in the middle of the square, they start lifting these giant hot air balloons. Giant! So 1 minute they're not there, it's just flat. Next thing you know, I mean, literally within 5 to 10 minutes, these hot air balloons were inflated, and they're just all out there. Again, check out our pictures, you'll see them, okay? They're just all over the place. And what a beautiful night. And we said, let's go and walk. And there was like literally millions of people. All right, not millions. Maybe an entire Yerevan is 1.5 million a population. I would say a good million were on the streets that night. And unfortunately, we succumbed to some bad news too, you know. And Susan's iPhone was taken that night in the midst of this crowd. Now, you can let that bother you, and it did bother us for a few minutes, but, you know, you get over it, and unfortunately, it could be the key that messes up your whole plans, but you got to get over it. You got to feel like, you know, okay, it is a part of the reality. The sad part of it was that all our pictures were on that camera, on that phone. And so that beautiful video with His Holiness, the pictures that we had with him the day before, were gone. I also had a chance to meet with Armenian youth on that Saturday, just before the camera was gone. Here is a group of young Armenian, some professionals actually, there was a dentist in the group. When they say Armenian youth over here, they do not mean Sunday school group. They're talking about the 20-somethings. And these were all bright kids, 20s, perhaps early 30s, bright, bright kids who had come together because next year happens to be the year of the youth. And so His Holiness has invited young people throughout the world to come to Etchmiadzin in July of next year. So as part of the Western Diocese, the Western United States, I was there trying to bring our portion to the equation and talk about it, and gave me a chance to sit with Armenian youth from Armenia. Now, within Armenia, there are several dioceses, and they had representatives from each of those dioceses, as far away even from Georgia. Yes, we had a couple people that came from Georgia. And it's interesting because you sit around with them and you're at a meeting environment. And if you've ever done any church work, you know that there is this necessary evil of the meeting, the infamous meeting. Well, here we were in Yerevan. And I listened to them, and there was a great deal of frustration because, you know, there's meetings, and sometimes meetings call for unforeseen circumstances. They call for uncontrollable, much like the clouds that you see. So there was this sense of frustration. And it even came on, I don't want to say it was hopelessness, but it was pretty close. And I had a chance to talk with them. And one guy even got up and he says, "I've been coming to these meetings for 7 years. And I thought to myself, wow, 7 years. I've been doing it for 40 years, you know. 35 as a priest, give me another 5 years before that, before getting into the priesthood. I mean, there's a lot of frustration. And I hear this over and over. Throughout the years, I've heard this over and over. And it comes back to that mountain metaphor. Do you want to see the entire mountain chain? You need to stand back and realize that your contributions are part of that whole equation. And so I shared with this small gathering that it's important to put those frustrations into place. If they're frustrated, there's no one frustrated more than me. And what do? You can back out of it, but then who loses? You lose, and so does the community. So does the gathering. So you need to find a very good balance between all of these equations to look at the factors that are important to you. And I shared with them a prayer, which I seriously doubted that they had heard. But, you know, let's give it a shot anyway. And, of course, they hadn't heard it. This was a prayer that Reinhold Niebuhr, this is a theologian that I had studied when I was getting my degree in social ethics back at USC, a prominent Protestant theologian. And his writings are incredible, and I would strongly recommend anybody who wants to take it a step further, go ahead and look at some of his stuff. I'll put a link on today's show notes about it as well. But it's the Serenity Prayer, which I'm sure many of you have heard. It appears here and there on different cards, on posters. But I didn't have it with me. And internet was basically zilch in this building that I was at. So I couldn't look it up real quickly. Yes, no Google available. But I went from memory and I wrote it down and gave them a quick Armenian translation. The Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. God, grant me the serenity to accept that I can't move those clouds around the mountain. I can't see the peak there. The courage to change the things I can. There are certain things that I can do. Give me the courage to do those small peaks in my life. And then give me the wisdom to know the difference between the small and the big. I'm going to take a break right now. Now, you know, a couple weeks ago, I shared with you that I was going to play you a very special song. You haven't heard this anywhere. It's impossible, okay? This is 35 years ago when I was ordained as a priest. The tradition is that after a period of seclusion, the priest celebrates his first divine liturgy. It's called Antranik Badarak. And like I shared with you a few weeks ago, I found all kinds of memorabilia from those times, including tapes, including videos, which we have digitized since. I'll try to put whatever I can on today's show notes. This is the Reverend Father Arshag Khachaturian. I had the good fortune and honor of serving with him as his assistant for a year and a half. He was my parish priest. And at my first Badarak, at my first Divine Liturgy, he sang Chorut Chorin, a cappella. And I've got the recording of this. Now you can go around and you can hear voices in Armenian churches. You're not going to find a voice like this, okay? And so I found it, digitized it, and here it is for you. Chorut Chorin, mystery deep, inscrutable, without beginning. When we come back in the second portion, I'll be talking a little bit about this and how it all fits in with the entire equation. But let's take a break right now. Song of the day, Chorut Chorin, the Reverend Father Arshag Khachaturian. Doesn't get any better. Arshag Khachaturian singing Chorut Chorin, mystery deep, inscrutable, without beginning. The beginning place of faith for us as Armenian Orthodox Christians. Singing that at my first Divine Liturgy 35 years ago this week. 35 years ago. And let me tell you a secret right now. If you hear him sing today, it would be hard to tell that there's any difference between now and then. A beautiful voice, a beautiful person, really, truly a beautiful person. I am honored that he was the sponsor at my ordination. I'm honored to call him not only a friend, a big brother who has been with me for many, many years. This recording is yours as my next steppers. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you're warming up a little and trying to get those goosebumps off of you. Of emotions that we went through this week were primarily working with people in need, people who might not have any other opportunity to avail themselves to this kind of technology, listening technologies. And sure, there was, I would say, the majority of the 1800 were advanced in years, but it was the young ones that really moved us. And I can't say that all across the board. I mean, there were some expressions on some of these older grandmas and grandpas that were with us. The joy when they were able to hear, the excitement, the enthusiasm. In fact, one of the men just jumped up and started kissing the technicians. He was so excited that, you know, for years he hadn't been able to hear. Another man I was working with, 57 years he had not heard out of one of his ears. And there it was. There was this opportunity. He recounted on how he was serving in the Soviet army. And he jumped into the water and had to save somebody. And along the way, water came into his ear. It froze up and he lost hearing in there. And there it was. 57 years later, an opportunity for him to regain some of that hearing. But the biggest ones were the youngest kids. One particular kid, 11 years old, had been excluded from going to school because basically he didn't know. I mean, these are village people. They're not just from the cities. And excluded from going to school because he could not hear, could not understand. And the tears of joy that came on his face when, for the first time, along with his parents, that for the first time he could hear. Another small little kid, 5 years old, Susan was working with this kid. I mean, it was very painful to watch him come in because fear, scared. There was some background story about him that he had been abandoned by the parents. Grandma brought him in, and Susan had taken him up to the first set of doctors who were looking into his ears. And it was painful. It was painful for him because they had to prod him and go into his ears and look around and everything. But the excitement was when he got his hearing aids. And you could see that he was smiling. He was laughing. He was hearing for the first time. And he came over and gave me a hug. And it was just those kind of emotions, those kind of things that you see, you can't explain. And it was interesting for me to be an observer to all of this. Because as much as we were out there and there was a lot of opportunities for hands-on, there was also many opportunities to just watch how things were coordinated, how people went from place to place. And there's always the people who are driven by egos and people who just don't mind. There was a lot of opportunity for the don't mind, for the small peak issues. And then there were people who just didn't understand that, you know, the big peak is there's uncontrollable circumstances. And so they were out there with cameras and gear and like, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing, and, you know, making a lot of noise. And so as an observer, you stand back, and the danger in that is you start being judgmental. So I caught myself several times. You'd be proud of me, yes. And looking at them, and I said, okay, I got to get back and do the small peak stuff. But so many beautiful opportunities. And this fits in with this week. Now, while we were, this week's Bible reading. Now, while we were here in Yerevan, we had a chance to meet with Father Mushel Toshchin. Now, he happens to be the priest at Costa Mesa Armenian Church, St. Mary. And I happen to be doing services there this Sunday. And it is a special Sunday for me because this also is the 35th anniversary of my first Divine Liturgy. And it is so special to me because the direction that I got, the way that I started my ministry, correlated with the way Jesus Christ started his ministry. And it has been a profound, profound correlation that I always refer to as my personal mission too. The Bible reading for this Sunday comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke. In there, we see that after Jesus' period of seclusion, he goes into Nazareth, where he was brought up. And he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, because that was his custom. And he stood up and he read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. It was given to him. He unrolled it and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And scripture tells us, this is Luke chapter 4, it tells us, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he stood up and he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of this scripture. And therefore, as a priest of Jesus Christ, here is an opportunity. And it was almost given to me because it happened to be that on that particular Sunday, where this is the scriptural passage, I started my ministry. And so I've really held this very close to me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And this week we got to do that. We got to release captives of hearing. And throughout the ministry, we've had opportunities to give sight back to the blind. I'm not talking about just eyeballs, you know. I'm not talking about just opening up your eyes and this guy is blind because he's got no eyeballs. I'm talking about people who have lost the sense of being, of who they are, and steering them in the right direction, of finding purpose and fulfillment in their lives. I was just talking to Susan this morning, just over breakfast, about this entire thing that as we're leaving Armenia. You know, Armenia is a very strange place for us because you don't really belong here. We come from Los Angeles, and we know that although we belong in Los Angeles, we know that there's a missing piece to the puzzle, right? Armenia, you come here and, you know, life, like I said earlier, you know, life is going on. And it's a beautiful place that's hustle, bustle, that is creating and defining themselves. But can you fit in? Possibly. Do you belong? Well, you have family. You have ties, emotional ties to a life back home. So it's a very odd situation where you're in a place where you know this is home, but you don't belong. And you know that there is another reality where you belong, but there's something missing. There's a key factor that's missing. And this is the spiritual struggle that you're in. That spiritual struggle that I talked about last week, when all of a sudden you have your Nathan Hale moment. Listen to last week, combine it with today's message. I mean, it's true. At some point you wake up and you say, life is more than the collection of all the goods that I have. It's more than where I live. It's more than the possessions that I have. It's more than the relationships that I have. There is an opportunity for me to share myself with others. And so we have this beautiful opportunity. For 10 days, we were here in Armenia. And now we start heading back home. Energized, yeah, recharged in a sense, but also with a commitment to this gospel message. It is the gospel message, by the way, not only for me, but for every priest. This is why I just think it's so wild. This particular Sunday, wherever you go in the Armenian, wherever in the world you are, go into the Armenian church, you'll hear that once throughout the entire calendar year, this particular passage is read. It happens to be the same reading that was read on my first Divine Liturgy. This happens to be the anniversary of my first Divine Liturgy, and it's about the mission that a priest has. I was completely flabbergasted at the time when I realized that, yes, just like Jesus came into Nazareth where he was brought up, I too was doing my first service at the place where I was brought up. And people looking at me like, you have moved from a man to a priest. What does that change mean in your life? And here was the answer. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But I said to you that every priest has this mission statement. Why? Because guess what? You open up the ordination service of a priest. The ordination service of a priest has a specific gospel passage. And guess which one it is? You guessed it. It's the same one. In other words, our church fathers have told us this is the mission. This is the mission statement of the priest. And this week, I'm moved. It's an opportunity for me to recommit myself to this very important mission. Yeah, we sway. We're human. We mess up. We go off the course. And that's why it's important, the focused vision, to have a focus on that vision. And this is the vision. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You have been ordained because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Now listen to that. That's what your mission is, to bring good news to the poor. Not to get up and make big claims about what you're doing and all that. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Not to go and be with just people that can butter your toast, so to speak. Recovery of sight to the blind, to find those people who are blind and offer them the kingdom, to let the oppressed go free. It doesn't get any more clearer, right? When people argue with you and they say, well, you know, forget about the social mission of the church. No, it's right here. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 and following. I invite you to read it. Here's Susie to make her announcement. I'll be back in a couple moments, okay?
Thanks, Father Vazgen. Hi, this is Susie once again to thank you for your heartfelt prayers and support for this ministry. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, and thank you to all of you. Hey, even here in Armenia, I'm getting mail from you. It is so exciting. I love what you had to say about last week's show. I think I really hit some nerves on that one, and I really, really appreciate everything you write to me, you share with me, appreciate your prayers and your support for this ministry. I'm going to call it a day right now. If you happen to be in Costa Mesa, St. Mary, look forward to seeing you there. It's been exciting over here. I mean, just about everywhere I've gone, people have stopped me and say how much they enjoy this ministry. In fact, I was in Etchmiadzin yesterday, taking our guests from Starkey, and there some guy came, Ardak. Deacon Ardak, he came up to me and he says, Dervaskin, we listen to you, we watch you. And it was just very, very flattering on the one hand, but it's also important for me to get that feedback, to know that the work that we're doing is really being heard and is being a source of inspiration to other people. Because what we're talking about is exactly that mission that Jesus Christ is talking about. I'm no greater than anybody else, except that 35 years ago, there was an opportunity for me to latch on to this message. And I just wanted to share that with all of you. And just the other night too, in the restaurant too. That was fun. Etchmiadzin, you kind of figure that was... if somebody's going to be listening to the priest, in Etchmiadzin, you'll find it. But in the restaurant, we were at a really, really cool restaurant. I forgot the name of it. And the guy, he's bringing up the bill at the very end. He comes up and he says, I've been looking at you for 2 hours trying to figure out who you are. I just realized who you are. You're Father Voskin. And we started talking, and he's been a follower of the ministry and so on. You know, I'm incognito in Yerevan. I get to wear my cap and walk around, and sometimes it doesn't show that I'm a Father Voskin, right? But it is very flattering. It is, I'll be honest with you, okay? We're all human, you know? Not only is that flattering, but it's also a way of telling me that, you know, the small peaks that we're doing are defined, and those small peaks are necessary and important. So thank you, all of you. So that about does it for us from Armenia, from Yerevan, Armenia. We're going to be calling it a day right now, getting on the plane in a few hours, having dinner with Autumn and Hadar tonight. Off we go with Aeroflot Airlines for the wonderful crew who put today's show together. For Susan and me here in Armenia, Yerevan, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, I want to invite you to get involved with us at inissues.org, at Facebook. Follow all of our leads. Get on the show notes. You'll find links to everything. And I'll say we're looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath cut out.